It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
And, of course, joining us this morning, Cecil Harvell, and we were talking, Cecil, and good morning to you.
Good morning, Lockwood.
We've been talking about the whole issue of car insurance, but I wanted to digress, and I asked if we could do that this morning in light
Absolutely.
Of the story of Robin Williams. And I want to go back to something you've been referring to a lot here recently, and it's the whole issue of estate planning and durable power of attorneys medical power of attorneys and things of this nature. And you know, the story of Robin Williams, who we're going to hear a lot about related to the issue of mental illness and addiction problems. And my comment, just as an aside, is that the addictions were a manifestation, if you will, of I'll call it mental illness. But here's an individual that literally lived his entire life on the edge. Steven Spielberg described it as a thunderstorm of comedic genius. So there's these flashes of lightning and thunder and violent, turbulent winds, mentally speaking, figuratively speaking. And these are people that we live with all the time. Mental illness is a challenge, and you've got these issues of addiction and the ramifications of it. And if you get into a situation where they have family members, what is one to do? If somebody goes into a coma as a result? So these are, this goes back to the...
Well, some of the files, Lockwood, that are just the most tragic that we see are families that come in with children who have, addiction issues or mental illness issues or combination many mm-hmm. times of both. And of course, it's tragic. I mean, for instance, to be more practical, a mother and father come in, they're in their 60s or 70s. They have a 45 year old mm-hmm. child. I mean, we're not talking about, yes, there are also those out there with the 17, 18, 19 year old mm-hmm. struggling. But with 17, 18 or 19, you kind of expect an estate document to hold things back in trust for a 19 year old. Mm-hmm. Okay. Most of the trusts say that 19-year-olds get their distribution, maybe at, 25 and 30 years old, something of that nature, maybe 22 and 25 and 30. Mm-hmm. But when you're talking about, a 45-year-old child or a 50-year-old child, and you've got parents in your office who are saying, we've struggled with this for basically the entire lifetime of the child. And we have a couple of choices, Cecil. One is to leave him out of our plan completely, because of the fact that the monies will go just simply to more, drugs, alcohol, or people who are taking advantage of him or her. Mm-hmm. Or if we are going to leave them a portion of my estate, of their estate, then it must be in a trust, basically for the duration of the lifetime. So what we're beginning to see here, Lockwood, is that there really is not an easy answer to these families that have the ongoing, day to day, month to month. Many times they don't know where their loved one is physically.
Right.
They disappear for a period of a year or 2 or 3 years, I sometimes hear. They don't even know where they are, at many times. Now, I am very impressed with the mental health associations, the friends of families of those suffering from mental health issues, or friends of each other who suffer from, addiction issues. Those organizations, those nonprofit support groups are out there, and they are present, by the way, right here in Carteret County, Craven County, Onslow mm-hmm. County. And I have had clients over and over again say, to me, we just don't know what we would do without the support group that exists, in our community to speak with other people about these issues. Now, again, to get more practical, you have to start drawing some lines a bit. People with diagnosed mental illness,
mm-hmm.
Some of which have even been hospitalized, Lockwood.
Or institutionalized.
Or institutionalized.
Right.
They, of course, eventually can qualify, as we know, for Social Security disability. And then they qualify, after that for Medicare. And they are disabled. Okay. The issue there sometimes is that if they receive inheritances, it will disrupt, particularly if for some reason they're on Medicaid, it will disrupt their benefits.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, I know there are listeners out there who know exactly what I'm referring to.
And Cecil, let me interrupt. We're not talking about sizable inheritances.
Mm-hmm.
It could be, and correct me if I'm wrong, it could be a small pittance, but it's just enough to throw them over the threshold.
Absolutely.
And it doesn't take much money.
That's an excellent point. I mean, we're not talking about, you know,
millions of dollars.
No, $10,000. $20,000.
Yeah.
Anything of any value at all will disqualify many times a person on Medicaid.
Wow.
And so if parents are very intent upon continuing to assist their loved one, then that requires what's known as a supplemental needs trust. And a supplemental needs trust is a known entity in the law whereby the trust by its very nature, it's irrevocable, and by its very nature, the terminology, it only pays for those things over and beyond the base needs of an individual. And so it's many times called a supplemental needs trust.
Now that stays outside of that individual's.
It does. And it does not. And if it's properly drafted, then those funds will not disqualify the loved one from continuing to receive their government benefit. That is something that we see quite often. Sometimes, though, folks are not on Medicaid. They just simply are suffering from addiction issues, and they are, again, many times not being found, that kind of thing. And that then just requires, it's not a supplemental needs trust, but just a trust that says that for the lifetime of my child, even though they're 45 or 50 mm-hmm. years old, they've suffered with addiction issues for their lifetime, and therefore their funds need to be held in a trust and distributed out to them, you know, on an intermittent basis. Lockwood, this is the biggie on all of this, Let's ponder this for a minute. You have clients come in. They say, we need a trust for this purpose.
Mm-hmm.
The big question is, well, who's the trustee going to be? Think about that for a minute. I mean, you're 70 years old or 60, 70, 75 years old, whatever age you are.
And let's say,
and you've got a child that you need a trust for their lifetime.
And let's just say, for example, you either have family members that are not interested.
Mm-hmm.
They've moved away. They have other challenges, or you have no family whatsoever. Those two instances.
It's difficult. Exactly. And, you know, many times the choice is a sibling. You know, the
right.
brother or the sister of the handicapped person, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
But they're in the same generation as their handicapped brother and sister. And so you've got to have alternates,
right.
backups. And so many times it is difficult, quite frankly, Lockwood, to find, trustees. Corporate trustees like banks and trust companies, due to, in the last, say, 10 years, I myself have seen a dramatic difference in the way in which, or the availability, if you will, of trust services on a professional basis. You know, when I first started practicing in the area of estates and trust, I mean, all of the banks were very, very active in soliciting trust customers. Even here locally, Carteret County, Onslow, Craven, we had people that were assigned to our area in each of them, all of the major banks. I don't want to single any one bank out, but all of the household names of the banks. you know, these offices now are in Charlotte. They are in Atlanta. They are not available generally to the run of the mill, if you will, client. Okay. If we have, you know, $10 or $15 million, then yes, someone from Charlotte will come fly in and talk to us. Okay. But the banking industry has narrowed their trust services greatly. Several of the major banks don't even offer trust services anymore. The same is true with your investment companies, your big ones like, you know, Merrill Lynch and different ones of that nature. You know, I don't even know whether Smith Barney's around anymore, but different ones that I've dealt with, you know, they again have narrowed their trust services. So, I'm not saying that they are not still in the business. It's just a different kind of business. And as a result of that, we are many times not available to rely on them as a trustee. And so the question really does become, who can the trustee be in some of these files?
We're talking with Cecil Harvell, and we've digressed from our normal program or routine here. We were going to be talking about car insurance, and the reason we've done that is because of, I say car insurance, but the whole entire issue of legalities associated with the car industry. But we've digressed here today because of the news today related to Robin Williams.
And we have, Lockwood, but let me make a little joke here. Actually, listeners who know me pretty well know that the car insurance was the digression. This is really more on point for the kind of law that I practice. But
it's also important in relationship to today's news.
It is, absolutely.
I mean, we have folks out there, and we're going to go to a break here, but just to make mention of this, Cecil, the conversation is going to evolve into not only the comedic genius of the individual, but what was behind this. And there's indications, and I'm hesitant to go straight to the issue of self-inflicted, but there are indications that it was. And he is renowned for having severe depression. It was, and it's part of that comedic genius. Mm-hmm. But out of this comes the realization, Cecil, that we need to start thinking about this relative to our estates, our children, our loved ones. I mean, this is no small matter.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, the time is now. I mean, so many of us put off getting our estate documents in order, you know, our power of attorney, our health care proxy, our declaration of desire for natural death, our last will and testament, and any trust that we may or may not need. You know, these are the things that we all say. I was talking to a friend last night, and I asked him over the telephone, you know, did you get your will done?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, gosh, I still haven't gotten that all finalized. The lawyer's working on it. I don't quite know where it stands right now. And of course I said, gosh, you know, Ted, go and get that done.
That could happen tomorrow.
You know, go and get that finished. Yeah. We at our office, and I specifically, and Wes, of course, as well, but Lockwood, we are very, I'm just saying our procedure, and this is true with many good lawyers here in Carteret County and in New Bern and in Jacksonville, that once we're hired and put on the hook to get documents done, we move the file. Within a week or two, 3 weeks, these folks are back in the office signing something. We may not have it all perfected, you know, within a week or two, but we can get a power of attorney done. We can get a health care proxy done. We may have some amendments or modifications to the trust or the will, a little bit more tweaking to do. But, you know, once a good lawyer is retained, it is the lawyer's responsibility to get the documents done.
You're listening to Let's Talk Legal with Harvell and Collins. We're talking with Cecil Harvell of Harvell and Collins. Very quickly, just to remind you, the right advice at the right time, brought to you by Harvell and Collins. Mm-hmm. And their phone number, and I will go ahead, and I failed to put out the number now if you want. We've got a few minutes left in the program. 800-818-2255, toll free 800-818-2255. But their phone number for future reference and call, 726-9050. That's HarvellandCollins.com. Spell out the word and, HarvellandCollins.com. That number again, 252-726-9050. The right advice at the right time. Cecil, we were chatting off air, and this whole issue of estate planning, the challenge is, as you said, and it's a little frightening, establishing the trust is one thing. To establish the trust, the instrument, but who's going to oversee the instrument?
Who's going to be the trustee?
Trustee.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's many times kind of the thing that just doesn't get
that
discussed at the coffee table, you know, or the dining room table, you know, when the family is together, the mom and dad, or they know they need the trust.
Right.
And then comes the question, well, now who's going to be the trustee of this trust, Mr. and Mrs. Jones? You know, what have you thought about that? And of course, then you get kind of a little bit of a blank stare.
You better believe it.
You know, or they have thought of one. But a trustee, by its very nature, many times is a document that's there for a long time.
And so
particularly these trusts for a handicapped child, a child with addiction issues, mental illness, those trusts are going to be in existence for many, many years. So you need not only the initial trustee, but you're going to have an alternate.
Okay. And that trustee, by the way, is going to take care of filing for taxes?
Absolutely. Yes.
I mean, just think that loan, that one item all by its own, lonesome.
Taxes, Social Security, insurance issues, medical issues, all of the financial investment decisions, any kind of lawsuit or defending lawsuit that might come about, anything of a business nature or financial nature concerning the beneficiary.
I'm going to go out on a limb and be kind to me as I saw it off behind me. Obviously, the structure set up for want of a better description, the whole concept of elder care. Mm-hmm. But we know the life expectancy of Lockwood. And, which by the way is 140. But anyhow, I've got it. It's date certain. But back to the issue. We anticipate the demise of the recipient of that trust. In the case of children, the people that created that trust are probably going to predecease that individual. So setting up the structure for that is a lot more complicated. Am I thinking correctly?
Yes. I mean, yes. If I'm hearing you correctly, it's that, you know, they're setting up a trust and of course.
They're not going to be here.
They're not going to be here to be the administrator or the trustee of the trust. No, they aren't.
And
correct.
So you're now creating this instrument, but there's really, and this is not unusual. There aren't the people that are going to give the love and care and attention. So you've got to structure this trust in such a fashion so as to assure that whoever's following through on its procedures and its programs is doing so for the benefit of the recipient. And it's all, if you really get right down to it, nuts and bolts. But you've got to structure it properly. And then to that point, you've got to find the people who are willing to occupy that position of trust. And that's got to be difficult.
You do. And Lockwood, what all of this comes down to is kind of a balancing of what we lawyers do, which are the facts of the family tailored to the documents. And I say many times that it is the duty of the lawyer to guide and direct the family, to listen carefully to what their objectives, their wants, their desires are, but to then, of course, if you will, you know, guide them into the right, you know, kind of pigeonholes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, suppose a client says, you know, I want them to have X number of dollars a year.
Right.
No more, no less than X number of dollars a year.
Right.
Well, you know, what if for some reason the corpus of the trust won't provide those X number of dollars anymore?
Yeah, right.
What if for some reason this child or loved one has a very serious need? Okay.
And they need
and
more
we
than,
need more than X number of dollars a year. If that even, if you were even here living, Mr. and Mrs., if you were here, you would also agree that you would front that, you know, $25,000 for that particular purpose. Okay.
Well, I'm curious what the answer is to that in just a moment, right after this break. We're listening to Cecil Harvell this morning on Let's Talk Legal here on Coastal Daybreak on the Talk Station, FM 107, AM 1240. We're talking about how to address the issue of estate planning and, for that matter, if you will, medical planning for folks. We haven't even gotten into the issue of medical power of attorney. But I think the important aspect of this with Cecil Harvell this morning here on Let's Talk Legal is the upshot of this story related to Robin Williams and bringing it back to the news of the day. An individual who suffered depression. We've got family members who are trying to deal with that. You know, Cecil goes back to the issue of establishing those trusts. What are the you said a moment ago off air, there's really no simple answer to this?
Well, there isn't a simple answer, but there are answers, and there, and it's better to have defined answers than for there to be, no answer at all. You know, I many times also say that, Lockwood, I really could just talk on and on about this issue of the law. You know, there is no perfect plan.
Right.
There is no perfect estate plan.
Because everybody's different.
Just like there isn't a lot in life, there isn't a lot of perfection in many things. You know, we just have to come up with the best plan that we can and to consider all of the attending circumstances and come up with the best plan that we can. But again, I think that it is the duty of the lawyer to guide and direct and try to put, to place back to the client for consideration. Well, these are some of the things that could occur if you do it this way, or if we
set up the scenarios, in other words,
correct.
Explain.
Like, okay, for instance, you know, the one about X number of dollars. we have to be careful about the document in the trust scenario.
Gotcha.
Being too terribly specific.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It has to be kind of general enough to give the to feed in all of the flexibility of things that might come about over the course of 10, 15, 20 years.
Or beyond.
So we need some trust documents need to have alternative and contingent provisions and need to have some built-in flexibility.
Which is what you're going to be dealing with when you're talking to an attorney, particularly the attorneys at Harvell and Collins. And of course, to remind you, we're talking about the right advice at the right time. HarvellandCollins.com, where you can hear this and other programs as well. 252 area code 726-9050. Cecil, thanks very much for being with us.